What is knowledge without love? Tune in tonight to find out.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What is up, guys? I'm sure you all are wondering, why are they playing Belle Biv DeVoe? And obviously because we found out about DeVoe, so what better song than Poison?
Perfect.
Tonight we are talking about The Flash, Season 4, Episode 7. My name is Drew Jones. You can follow me on all the things at OK Drew. And I'm going to throw it over to my amazing co-panelist.
Hey guys, I'm Carolina Benetti. You can find me on Twitter at Carolina Benetti and on Instagram at LenaBean113 and on to...
Hey, this is Chauncey K. Robinson and you can catch me on Twitter at Miss Chauncey K. R.
Oh my God, I just feel like I literally was complaining about not being a huge fan of this season before we watched this episode, and I'm so sorry, Flash Riders, I take back everything I said. Tonight was insane, right? Like, we just have...
It was intense.
Yeah. I feel like this was, like, the big turning point for the season.
So, it was a very educational episode because we learned so much that we've been sitting back going, okay, a lot of these little villains have been, like, filler villains. Mm-hmm. So it was really good to get to this point.
Yeah. A lot of questions answered. A lot of new questions formed. Let's get right into it. We start out with a flashback to 4 years ago at Central City University. And we see Clifford DeVoe, and he's, first of all, walking.
Yeah.
And he's teaching a super uninterested class. Like, everyone is zoned out, just like, I mean, a lot of...
Cat videos.
Yeah, cat videos, dog tricks, the whole deal. And you see him very frustrated, and we see the mechanic come in, which we finally get her name. So, Marlies. Mm-hmm. We see them kind of discuss this whole concept of a thinking cap. And that's the first big, like, okay, we're going to see his backstory. And so we go into present day and we see, we pick up where we left off with the last episode where Barry and Joe are in their house and kind of questioning them. And Barry notices the samurai painting.
Yeah.
So, he knows it's a samurai painting, and that's really the only, like, tidbit that kind of connects them at the moment. I mean, obviously, we, the, you know, viewers know this guy's a bad guy, but as far as they know, that's really the only, like, cool little, like, tie together is that there's a samurai painting, but as Cisco...
Sure, but, I mean, Barry's really good at deducing things, but I really like that in this episode he reined himself back. You know, because in past seasons, he's always like, I know who the bad guy is. And then he gets super overconfident and he messes everything up. And this time, he was like staking it out almost to the point of paranoia. And kudos to Grant Gustin because I think this episode is the best acting we've seen of him this season. He's a fantastic actor, that being said. But he did such a good job like doing subtle paranoia. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed with him. I'm sure a lot of other people were too. But... That being said, I really liked that he, like, was like a dog with a bone, man, and he just wouldn't let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I would say he was, like...
Reined it in.
I mean,
reined it in the sense is usually he just suits up and he's like, I'm the Flash. I'm going to go get the bad guy and, like, do his thing. Mm. But this time, he went as Barry Allen, and he just tried to really investigate all of the details. Because in the past, he'd get overconfident, and he would overlook something that was so obvious, and then it would drive him crazy. So we are seeing him grow.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see where you're...
See what I'm saying?
I did like in the beginning this very domestic thing that we saw between the thinker, DeVoe, and his wife, Marlies. Like, we saw that in the beginning, or the end of the previous episode, mm-hmm. and it kind of traveled over. At first, you know, in the previous episode, you sort of thought, oh, this is just a put-on. But with that flashback, it was like, oh, no, this is their... And it was weird, like, seeing that beginning. It's like how this originated of this love story.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was a love story initially of this love of knowledge, like what you had opened up with this idea of him wanting to reach his students, wanting to reach more knowledge of how this whole thing came about.
I think it's really interesting that a lot of the villains we see on The Flash don't have, like, negative origin stories. They tend to start out with good intentions and then somehow get twisted. I also love that, this is just a small little thing that I saw, that when Barry, you know, is, before we see all the other stuff, Barry's like, you know, I want to dig into all of this. Iris is actually the one who goes and starts designating the roles for everyone. And it's like, you go do this, you go do this. And I love seeing Iris in...
That picks up to the very first episode of the season, though, where she was really leading the charge.
Yeah, I love seeing that continue, though, because, you know, these last couple episodes have just been very focused on just a bunch of stuff. So I just like to see that she is still very much kind of a team leader, and I like to see that Barry is, like, coming into play, like, coming and falling in line and not being so, like, no, I'm the Flash and blah, 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 you know?
Well, it's like they said, and we see, like, they're the Flash, right?
Yeah.
And I love that, like, what you're saying, that that didn't fall off. Like, they didn't suddenly, oh, he's back, and now, okay, Iris doesn't have to be the one that designates everyone. They still call her Boss Lady. Like, she's still the one. He's the superhero with the powers, but she's the one that's, you know, able to kind of tell people where to go. And and she's listened to. Even he listens to her. So I like seeing that dynamic, at least in the beginning.
Yeah.
Right. So I just want to come back to what you were saying about the origin story. And I was saying to you a little bit while we were watching, and I don't know if you agree, but I feel like DeVoe, the thinker, is the most likable villain. I really feel for this character, and I think that this is going to come full circle, and that we're seeing this, because in a way, he was a victim of Harrison Wells, the OG Harrison Wells from the first one, who was, like, Zoom and so forth. So I feel like we're going to see a turnaround on him, because I think that he's doing this. We still don't know his end game, and I feel like he's doing it for a greater purpose than what we saw, because he was completely wronged by Harrison Wells, and Barry became the Flash, and he literally is on a death sentence with the chair that's keeping him alive barely. It makes me feel for him.
Well, I don't know if he was wronged by Harrison Wells. Like, they literally, he was watching. We saw in the beginning where it came to the point of getting the power for the helmet. It was like, you know, the mechanic, his wife, had made the helmet and was like, we need a power source. We don't have anything. And he was looking at the video and he said, well, Harrison Wells has basically created that for us. And they went to, you know, the press conference and everything, and it was like, you know, by the look of it, because we all knew, and that was what was so great about it, that it was like a callback that, yes, that wasn't the real Harrison. That it was, you know, versus who knew that who DeVoe was about to become. And that was such a cool thing, because he's like, I see our future. Like, I see what you're about to become. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, they walk away and he's like, well, you know, she wanted to wait. His wife wanted to wait. She was like, you know, he seems to want the explosion. We should wait. And he didn't want to. So in that sense, I don't think he was wronged by Harrison. Well, I really do think he knew what was going to happen. He just didn't know the extent of what was going to happen.
I agree.
Well, I just want to point out with, I know you guys disagree with me, but I want to point out with you guys that, you know, Harrison, he wanted that explosion to happen, and he ruined a lot of people's lives, and DeVoe was one of them. And they wanted that power source because, yes, they were working on that project, but was it for evil? I think it was for a greater good. He was just trying to bring more knowledge into the world. He didn't set out to be any kind of villain. And would Harrison Wells actually know him in who he's become now as the thinker, because the timelines were jumbled?
Well, I think we saw with that scene that Harrison, the fake Harrison, knew who he was. That was the catch. Like, that scene where he looks at him and he says, they ask the question, he's like, well, I think this is going to change our future very much. That was a call to the fact of him knowing who DeVoe was going to become. So I think he actually, I think the writers did that. The direction of that scene was because the evil Harrison knew who DeVoe was about to become and actually knew it was going to happen.
I agree. And I don't think DeVoe is a victim in that, because, like you said, the mechanic even says, you know, it's like he's planning for this to not work. So it's like they very well knew that there were a lot of...
They knew the dangers.
Yeah, they knew there were a lot of risk, and it's something that they went ahead and did anyway. And as we see, he, you know, it does not go in his favor. So we go back to present time. We see Barry obsessing kind of again. He shows up in DeVoe's class, which is mad weird. And by the way, I've never I mean, DeVoe obviously is a thinker and all, but I've never seen a professor be able to, like, scan out and point one, like, see one person. My professor literally never saw me.
That was a big classroom, too.
Yeah, but, you know, he's a thinker, so whatever. So then, you know, we have this weird, tense moment between Barry and DeVoe, and then Barry shows back to the back to Star Labs, and we see that everything's clear. This is a model citizen, a big brother to, you know, his community. You know, everything's checked out. Model life, model life.
But it set it up for such a good Easter egg in there with him talking about his Spidey sense tingling. I love that.
Yeah, that Spider-Man. Was a cute reference.
Shout out to Spider-Man. You the realist.
But again, I think that this really shows Barry growing as a superhero and as a detective. He was like a dog with a bone. He knew something was wrong, and instead of going after it completely as the Flash, he put on his detective hat and he just kept at it.
Yeah.
And he's right, and he knows he's right, and I'm glad that it ended up with him confronting him because it proved he was right.
Yeah. But we do see that the thinkers obviously thought everything through, because even down to Barry taking, you know, the mug and having Cisco vibe it, we see nothing. Yeah. You know, we see the mac and cheese. That's apparently really good. The three cheese mac and cheese is really good.
Yeah. What I want to know is how he got around Cisco's powers of vibing.
That's a very... Right? I mean,
he's... Like, I wonder what people think on that. Like, how did he do that?
Well, it seems that, I mean, from the examples we see of his power, it seems that he just, like, has the answers to just about everything. So, even down to the, who Jack the Ripper really is.
Which I tried to look up, because that reference of who Jack the Ripper actually, I was like, well, I don't know about that. And yeah. Of course they want to know, of course. But I didn't even see, I mean, I'm not going to get all geeky with it. Like, I was like, who, the nurse?
I was like, who's the Zodiac Killer?
Right? I was like, I got to do a bit more research.
Where's Tupac?
Where's Tupac? Is he in Cuba? Is he?
We need to ask the real questions here.
You should send that in, see what he says.
Yeah.
At the
see what the thinker says.
Where's Biggie? Where's Tupac?
What was the name of that, like, article that people used to, like, write in the newspaper for advice? Was it, like, Dear Abby? Yeah, dear so it thinker. Could be, like, Dear Thinker.
Yeah, he has all the answers.
That would be, like, an awesome, dear thinker, like, side
show. Why isn't he
show.
Calling me back?
Yeah.
But imagine that as a side show on the CW seed. Like, I would watch it.
That would be
I'd be, like, can fans submit questions? I have questions.
That would be hilarious.
But it was kind of a creepiness there, too. Like, what we were saying, like, how did he get around by his powers and everything? Because that was the thing, as I was watching, even from the beginning, and the fact of watching Barry sort of be on this, you know, like, dog with the bone sort of thing, it was like, he's kind of on a losing battle in a way, you felt like, because in all the previous episodes, we've seen that the thinker has been always a step ahead. So it was like, you're watching Barry do this and go to the classroom and all this, and you're kind of like... the thinker knows all this is happening. Yeah. So
it's very, like, the entire episode was very unsettling.
Yeah, that's the right word. It was unsettling, because it was like, Barry, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You kind of know that in a way.
It was very unsettling to see
that. That was one of the best monologues on The Flash, period. Like, in all four seasons.
Yeah.
DeVoe's monologue to Barry was absolutely fantastic. He's such a great actor.
Yeah. So,
but it makes it impossible for you not to, like, you have to like him. Didn't that make you like him more?
I don't know if you
like,
have to like him, but I think you can appreciate his hustle.
Yeah, I think what we were seeing throughout this episode is that, well, I mean, you'll get to it or whatever, but even in the beginning parts of what we talked about so far, it seems like he had a noble cause.
Yeah.
Initially. The thing is, though, clearly he's a villain right now.
Yeah.
So what is his... Like, why does he want to seemingly destroy Barry? Like, what's that about? That's not noble. So what went from him wanting to connect to knowledge and the world and expand to this game that he's playing with the Flash?
Right. So in this next flashback, we see the particle accelerator go off. We see, you know, flashback.
Which was an awesome scene.
Yeah, we see, you know, little snippets of season one up in there.
And they did such a good job bringing back the tone in those inserts.
Oh, yeah,
it
for
was
sure.
fabulous.
Yeah.
So we see that happen. We see Clifford put on his little thinking cap and get electrocuted and thrown, you know, really far. And we see, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but she kisses him there when she's trying to bring him back to life. And she says something like, "You are my everything," or something like that.
Like, "You're not going to leave me."
Yeah. Yeah. And then he wakes back up. And then later in the episode,
it's a very Snow White moment.
Yeah. Later in the episode, when he's having an issue with his body, she does it again. She says the same thing. And he, like, chills out for a second. So I'm interested to see. I don't know if maybe that's just, like, nothing. And it's just showing that they're, like, really in it together. Or if maybe there is something tied into that. I don't know. We'll keep watching.
Well, they're definitely a dynamic duo.
Yeah.
Just, you know, with everything of how she's helped build so much of what he thought of. And she, and like, they were two, you know, a yin and a yang sort
yeah.
of a deal with each other, completing each other. Which, once again, goes back to what I was saying. Like, this seems like a love story.
Yeah. It's like a
Bonnie and Clyde. That's what I was saying. Yeah.
But with metas. Well, not metas, actually.
But in a way, he's a meta. He has limitless thinking.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
But I'm saying, like, his, like, DNA isn't registered.
According to Caitlin.
Yeah. That he just outsmarted him. That doesn't mean his DNA doesn't register. It just means he obviously altered its pattern for them.
Yeah. Caitlin's test didn't work, basically, somehow, based off of him probably anticipating she was going to do a test.
Right.
But back to what you said, when we were talking about this scene in the flashback where we see him get knocked out and we think he's dead, and that's where I'm saying is that Wells, a.k.a. Thawne, to make people happy for, like, the duplicitous name, he wronged him, you know? So he's somebody whose entire life was destroyed for that. That makes me feel for him.
I don't think he wronged him. I think they very much knew. I don't think he knew, like, that this, like...
No, I think
mutated
he did
ASL
know.
Was going to happen, but I think he knew that there were obviously risk and whatnot to taking it.
Right, but Chauncey, if you're going to sit there and say that he knew who he was and what he would become, then that stands to reason that he knew that the particle accelerator exploding would cause that permanent damage to the thinker.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think that was more of a benefit rather than his end game, because I think at that time, at least, Thawne was thinking his plan was going to be what was going to go down, and I think...
Well, I don't think Thawne really thought about the thinker outside of I don't care what happens to you, because he was so focused on Flash, but don't you think that in that he had knowledge that he was causing this?
No, I think Thawne looked at him knowing what DeVoe was going to become, knowing he was going to become the thinker. That was the recognition of that scene.
Yeah.
Evil Harrison, as Thawne, knew that he was like, our future, because he knew what DeVoe was going to be. DeVoe and his wife, not knowing the necessarily future, walked away saying they knew that they got a sense that Wells, who was really Thawne, knew that this accelerator was going to fail. It was going to cause an explosion, and he wanted it. And his wife literally told him, we should wait. He said, no. Even if it's going to do that, we need to do that. He went through with it.
Yeah.
You know, my thing is, it's like, he basically made his own decision. Yes, he didn't know what we'll probably get to eventually, what was going to happen to his body, but he knew the risk of going into an explosion.
Exactly.
On January 7th, that would create that.
You're saying that DeVoe himself thought he might have the possibility of becoming a meta, which is why he went?
He totally wanted to become. He wanted to do something with that cap to have limitless power of knowledge.
Yeah, I think it's like if Thawne put a loaded gun on the table and he worded it in such a way that they knew that the gun would backfire on whoever shot it, and the wife and Mrs. DeVoe was like, don't shoot the gun, even though, yeah, technically maybe it'll still work out, don't shoot it because it's going to backfire on you. And DeVoe was like, I'm going to shoot the gun. We can't blame Thawne for putting it there. Like, yeah, he knew, but, like, DeVoe also knew this might not work out, and he was like, I'm gonna shoot it anyway.
Or that it would work out, but in a very deadly way. I mean,
I mean, don't get me wrong, Thawne's a bad dude. He's a bad guy, but I'm just saying, I don't think...
All of it can be on.
Yeah. Yeah. So we hop back to present day, and...
Should it be hop forward?
So we go forward to present day, and we see that they have filed a complaint against Barry for harassing, which, showing up in two places, I just don't really feel is, like, harassing.
Right?
Like, I don't know. I just feel like that's just police work. I don't feel like that's... Did he really do anything that was out of the pocket? No, but the thinker's being extra, and it's all part of his plan.
I mean, to be fair, if there was a cop up in my house without a warrant, we have a problem.
Yeah.
That's a serious problem. You wouldn't be mad? You guys wouldn't be mad?
They invite... It's not like he, like, kicked the door, and he was like, hey, suckers,
Yeah, if they invite you... If the cop gets invited in, they're allowed to
They weren't
that.
Allowed in. The second time he broke in, he was not allowed in.
Well, that... We'll get to that point.
They hadn't filed this yet.
But this was the first two times.
Yeah, the first two times, it was... The first one was at their home, and they were invited in. The second time was in a public, you know...
But it is harassment when you show up to someone's place of work unannounced. That is considered harassment. Textbook definition of harassment is showing up unannounced to somebody about something.
I still think the thinker, you're guilty and you're extra. So
thank you, ZSB Lou. The chat says they're mad with me.
I think what it is because we know what the thinker is. Yeah. We know who they are. We're like, oh, you putting on these crocodile tears. Yeah. You aren't really being harassed. So we're, you know,
but
we're watching
it. I understand Century City PD that this is a serious offense and Barry should be reprimanded. But we still know what you did, thinker.
And low-key, he's totally right.
Whatever. Anyway. No, I'm kidding. We see Barry kind of, like, low-key losing it a little bit. Well, losing it to everyone's thinking he's losing it, but he's like, no, I'm telling you. And so we see him working on this board, and we hear some footsteps, so he rushes over to the table, but it's Iris. Yeah. And you're not slick, Barry. Right. It's your fiance. She knows you. And so she pulls up the board, and she sees that there's this whole DeVoe board. Dedicated to all things
and
DeVoe,
the wife, yeah,
and the missus. And I love that he called her a Stepford wife. Mm-hmm. Because, like, she is playing this very, like, oh, I'm a housewife. Look at me. But
she's got two doctorates.
Yeah, like, she is a genius. Like, she's out here building robots and stuff.
She's just making some great mac and cheese.
She's like, he comes up with the ideas, and she makes them happen.
She's making three cheese, macaroni and cheese. That has bombs in it. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know.
But so we have this little heart to heart with Iris and Barry,
which is very sweet.
Yeah, and she's like, she's not necessarily talking down, which I love. I love that their heart to hearts are never like, I don't believe you or you're in the wrong. It's like, I'm trying to understand where you're coming from, but this is how it's like. Just A1 communication. Couples take notice.
But as we're talking about them arguing, what I love most about this episode is how much Candace Patton took Iris's character and embedded Joe into it. Like, she was like Joe 1000. The looks, the line delivery, she did such a good job. It was definitely Iris West all up in there as Joe West's daughter.
Mini Joe.
Yeah.
Mini Joe.
Joe 2.0.
So we have the little heart to heart with them, and Barry's like, all right, I'm gonna stop. Not really, but.
We're the Flash.
He was trying to hold it in until we got to that camera.
Yeah, conversation, we're the Flash, yada, yada, yada. And so we get another flashback, and we see the thinker just going off, like just solving problems, you know, discovering.
Jack the Ripper.
The Jack the Ripper thing.
If it's true or not.
I would love to know.
I want to know why they came up with... I want to know what the writers thought when they thought that it was, like, why that one. I thought it was cool that it was actually the woman that was the killer, but...
Yeah, no, I love that, too. I was like, oh, the nurse did it. Savage. Mm-hmm. So we see that whole thing, and then we see him kind of, like, malfunction and just, like, pass out.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where we first see the, like, little flip in... The motive for the thinker. And so then we go forward again in time, because we're going back and forth this whole episode. And Barry is back in the Flash, or back in Star Labs, and the samurai helmet starts buzzing.
Which I wrote down finally in giant letters across my notes, because it has been there for way too dang long.
It's just been chilling. And it's creepy. Why couldn't it go, like, I don't understand why. I mean, obviously, I understand, like, due to the writing.
They need, like, a super villain trophy room. They where do. They, because you just can't have that.
I feel like that was a rookie mistake.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, why was it randomly there?
Yeah, like, robot samurai.
But Sisko did say, who doesn't love samurai? You know? So maybe that was his thing, kind of like, oh, we got this cool thing I can put in the...
Look at what it did to him. Yeah, it's been exactly. listening in. Mm. So the cool samurai needs to go in the cool villain trophy case.
Yeah.
In the back of the joint.
So Barry pops that bad boy open, and what's in there? A camera. So what does Barry think is a great idea? We're going to break into his house. We're just going to stroll up in there and break right in. And, yeah, there. He messed up though, because he almost knocks the picture over and he catches it, but he doesn't put it in the right spot. It looked like
he didn't. He messed up, and that was such a guy move. No offense, but women are so meticulous about details.
If Iris take that one,
if Iris broke into that house, that picture would be right back there. Guys, you can always tell when they come through because you're like, that wasn't there. Maybe that's just my OCD talking, but I can always tell.
I'm saying I might be a boy then because you could put this paper here. It could be sitting here for 5 days. And I'd be like, that's where it goes.
But the thing is, it wouldn't even matter even with the photo and stuff because of the fact that clearly, and I don't know why, and that's one of the things where I was like, why didn't he think about, you heard me, as soon as he walked in, I'm like, why isn't his face covered? Why is he rolling there with just a hoodie?
Yeah.
Like, you are a masked hero, and you roll in someone's house.
Costume.
Well, and when it, like, I guess maybe he could have came as the Flash, but it's just some sort of disguise.
Yeah. You could have been...
Okay, but realistically, who has cameras in their house like that? Please, inside the house, inside private rooms.
A highly skilled villain that Barry is convinced is a highly skilled villain.
Or someone, who watches their husband or whatever because he needs extra assistance. Mm-hmm. And,
I didn't know where you were going with it.
But, it's not totally out of the realm of, reality that they would have cameras in the common area. And he's just standing around in his hoodie. And it's just like, you're not even thinking about the fact.
Dang, why don't you just take a nap in their guest bedroom while you're at it, since we're just going to be messy,
right? Like, and that's what it goes back to what we were saying. Like, I know there's a thought of, him being more of a tour and stuff like that. But it also seemed like in that moment, he was so adamant about, like, he had found the camera and he rushed off to the house. Why not contact Team Flash or something?
Yeah.
Where's bringing everyone else? And he rolled there with his hoodie. I can't get over the hoodie. Like, he rolled there, masked superhero, no face covering, and didn't even contact anybody.
Nope.
And he came back to that lab like he had, like, won every, like, guys. Like,
but it was so worth it when he came back. Iris knew. And this was, like, Job 2.0 in full circle. Did you guys not relish her face when he walked in? Like, she knew.
That was, if there's ever a face that black women make, it was that face. Just that.
The side eye.
Mm, yeah.
No, it was just, it was funny because he goes and he's like, I know it's him. And then Harrison's like, oh, so you tagged the IP address.
Yeah.
And, he's like, no, I didn't.
No, I didn't. And they're like, okay, but so how do
you
know?
Some type of prints or something. And it's like, no. Basically, I saw the camera and I went back to the house.
Yeah.
So that's like, smart.
Yeah.
Right? You took it there.
And it's like, everyone's like, oh, no, you didn't.
And then they're all hating on him because they're like, it's not even on. And he's like, no, but it was making this noise. And then he did look totally crazy this episode, but he wasn't. He was so right and on it.
But the thinker...
And that was what was so creepy about this episode. And that's what that right word you said, like, unsettling. Because it's like, outside of it, if we didn't know he was the thinker, Barry would seem somewhat insane.
Yeah, totally.
Like, is he doing something to Barry's brain? Is he making him, like, obsessive?
No, because he's like a sad guy.
But it's like this idea of everyone. It was like Team Flash versus Barry a little bit this episode.
I think it's because this is the first meta we deal with where there's nothing to trace his power with. His power is strictly something that technically we all have access to, the power of the mind, but he just has it on a greater scale. But, like, with every other meta, we've been able to, have some type of machine to pick up a detection or whatever. Like, this is strictly just who's a better thinker.
So as we're talking about Team Flash, I want to bring up the fact that Ralph wasn't really in this episode, minus for that tiny little segue that they had in the stretch section. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, because he was one of the metas that were created on the bus, you know, I'm wondering, how are they going to integrate him into the main villain storyline? He's definitely a part of it, and I'd like to see it. What do you guys think?
I feel like he's kind of was just like a distraction in his own right. Like, you know, the other metas were doing, you know, their own, they had their own little episodes where they did their deeds or whatever. I feel like Ralph is just another distraction. It's just one that they were able to catch and turn into something productive.
Yeah.
Productive, they think, but still a distraction at the same time.
I think because of what we saw with the shift with the tone of this episode from the previous episodes, there's still like this I think with the Ralph character so far, he has been, it's been somewhat, I don't want to say comedic relief, but it has been a little bit of that. And I think with the shift of this episode's tone of needing to be a bit more serious, mm-hmm. that I don't know if the writers knew necessarily how to fit him in. Like, mm-hmm. we got that little extra scene, like the stretch scene, like, yeah. you know, you're talking about. But, like, you know, it was like, it would have been weird for him to be in there cracking yeah. jokes. Barry's going crazy and he's going to be cracked. Like, I think eventually we can get him to the main plot, but I think this episode, there has been so much of him thus far, and that's been a debate, you know, in the sphere of the webs about yeah, whether or not we really have too much Ralph. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think for this particular episode, it was okay that he wasn't there.
Yeah, also shout out to the Cyrano de Bergerac reference. That was dope. For those of you who don't know it, Google it.
Look it up.
I do, so we go to another flashback, because this is the episode of the flashbacks, and we find out he's diagnosed with, like, a super form of ALS. And I don't even know why he went to the doctor, because he was just dragging the doctor.
Yeah. No, it sounded like he was hoping the doctor would have a prognosis to heal him. And when he realized, that was the first moment that he realized he knew more than his own doctor.
Yeah.
Because he had just come into his powers. I don't think he realized how much smarter it made him until he realized, like, you know how you can know something, but you don't really know until it's happening yeah. to you? I feel like that was his, like, come to moment, which was really important to see and devastating. I felt for him.
I still don't know if I feel for him. I like the type of villain he is. But I don't know if I, like, feel for him.
I like him as a villain. Yeah. Like, that's my thing. Like, I don't know if I feel for his cause, but it's, like, I really like,
yeah.
you know, this whole, like, the thinker. Like, mm-hmm. it's more than just, like, you know, muscle and, you know, big powers versus other big yeah. powers. It's very much that. And when he got that diagnosis, I just thought it was really, you know, cool, like, this idea of his mind is feeding off of his body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he's so smart. He can't be, that brain of his can't be contained by a mere mortal
yeah.
body. It's like he's meta, right? He's superhuman, but not all the parts of him.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, kind of damning in a way. Because like he said, like, you know, with his cause, like you were talking about, like this idea of he wanted to save humanity and he's being condemned. Mm-hmm. So that was the one part where I kind of felt yeah. a little bit for him. Oh,
when you said that, that made me think that's so poetic. Like, sadly yeah. poetic in a way. Like, he wanted to save humanity by giving more knowledge. And in fact, it's his vast knowledge is killing his own humanity.
Yeah, yeah. exactly.
I love that he says 2,600 metas, like, you know, were created and they've been using it to, like, rob banks mm-hmm.
and he's like, here I am.
And I'm using mine to save humanity and I'm being punished. First of all, 2,600 metas, we gonna have quite a few seasons. Second of all, yeah, I do, that is very poetic how it's, he's trying to, I still don't feel bad for him, but I do think that that was a very poetic little thing they got going on there.
Well, I'll tell you why I feel bad in a minute. Just, I'm waiting to get to it.
Okay. So we go back to present time. Barry gets called back into Sing's office, and we see a crying
Marlize.
And first of all, girl, get your Emmy with those tears.
She's really good this episode. She is. She's
a great
back
actor.
And forth that she was doing.
The actress.
She is very natural.
Yes, the actress. But I'm talking about Marlize. Like,
yeah.
Marlize.
The slap.
Yeah, the slap, the cry. Girl.
I loved Barry's face when he got slapped. He was like, the audacity, because he knew she was going crazy on the crocodile tears.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we find out he gets slapped with a 2-week suspension
yeah.
from work,
And he still doesn't really quit.
He still doesn't really quit. It's Barry. And he gets a restraining order where he has to be 500 feet away from DeVoe. Mm-hmm. And we get another Iris, Barry moment, West Allen moment. And he basically says, you know, this is the first one where, like, I'm legitimately worried. Like, I think we're getting...
Well, I think this showed, like, a very masochistic side of the Flash, because he literally said he was freaking out because he's never been so happy. Mm-hmm. And so that's why he's so worried, because he feels like something is for sure wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this goes to the idea of, you know, Iris being somewhat of his anchor in that sense of being able to tell him, well, you feel like you have a lot to lose, but what happens when Joe actually has the baby? What happens when we get married? What happens when I have a child? Hopefully, you know, turn into twins soon. And, you know, but, you know, what happens, like, you're always, the stakes are always going to be higher. You're always going to have something to lose. So you just have to be able to adapt to that. It doesn't mean you're not going to be scared, but it means that we're always going to have something to lose. So why should this be any more intense than those other times? Which I thought was a very poignant scene for them to be able to have.
Life lessons with Iris West Allen. Almost West
That's
Allen.
Another good, like, little CW seed show on the side.
Hi, I'm Iris West Allen. Welcome to Life Lessons.
I'd watch.
I'd watch it too.
Right after Ask the Thinker.
Ask the Thinker. Wow, we just begin our lives.
Oh, deep thoughts with Thinker.
Ooh. Y'all, deep thoughts with Thinker.
Yeah, we're ready.
Give me my check, CW.
I know.
So then Barry is like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go back to DeVoe.
He's like, thank you for that, girl.
And he's like, thank you, love you, can't wait to get married next week, kiss, kiss. All right, I'm going to DeVoe. And so he goes back to DeVoe.
It's like a train wreck. You just can't help but stop and watch it.
Yeah. So he shows up, and DeVoe's like, I call the police on you. And Barry basically tells out, what you gonna do then? Like,
and he walked out, like, whoa.
Post up or shut up.
This scene was intense.
Yes.
This was really monologue. A really great scene.
DeVoe reads him for filth. That was the, like you said, the best monologue I think I've seen in a minute.
I want to replay just that section to watch it go down and to watch, like, Barry's soul die as he just gets dragged.
He said, this killed me. I was like, I need that.
You know what? The Thinker is an internet troll. Like,
the thinker is that guy
that trolls everyone. Like, I feel like he would be the originator of internet trolls. Barry, he's that dude.
Barry tries with the comeback, like, you know what's happened to people who tried me.
I felt that
they
comeback,
failed.
Though.
And I was like, okay, Barry.
Because it's true. Yeah, it's true. He's true. Like, you know what has comeback. Happened? Everyone's failed.
I was like, okay, like, Barry. And
this
then
this is the Flash.
The Thinker throws at him, you're used to punching gorillas.
Right?
And I was like, let me just throw everything at you.
At least he left the shark out of it.
Yeah. I would have been done.
crying.
That was why the scene was so poignant, because he was pointing out everything. It was like, you have these things you consider accomplishments. They're nothing compared to what I have in store for you. And I kind of got chills. I was like, oh. Because we still don't know what his plan is.
Exactly.
I still don't know.
Even with this episode, we still don't know what's happening. So we have this huge showdown, and the Thinker drags, like, Barry, like, scalps Barry. Like, that was...
Yeah, and you know what was so scary
about it?
Did you
say it scalped him?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a Twitter phrase, when someone drags you on Twitter.
Or snatch your wig.
Snatch your wig.
Snatch your wig, I know. I've never heard scalped before.
That's indigenous.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, I've heard it in the traditional sense, but not in New Age lingo.
But, like, one of the things that was really scary about this part to me was the fact that this whole episode, if we notice, Barry had been trying to discover, like, uncover him this whole time through all types of means, breaking into the house, all this, you know, getting his DNA. And all it took was for him to ask, who are you really? He goes up, and DeVoe's like, you know, I know who you are. And it's just, and it's like, and he said, he's like, why reveal yourself now? He's like, because I've got nothing to fear from
it
you.
Was,
I was like, oh, whew. That's not good.
He said, you're the Flash, I'm the Thinker.
He's like,
I don't care. You lose, what's up?
He's like, it doesn't even matter that you know who I am. That's how much your efforts have been futile.
Yeah.
Just like, wow.
Like, dang. He's like, I literally could tell you my next five moves and you still gonna lose. Like,
that's what got me scared. I'm like, whoa.
I was like, what are we in for?
He's definitely a different villain. Like, he, you know, we've had a serial killer on before. Not all the villains have had tragic stories. Yeah. Like, one of the homeboys was a serial killer. Don't forget about that.
Yeah.
You know, and then, of course, Savitar was like Barry gone wrong. But he's very different than any other villain. I think he's the most intelligent villain outside of his brain power, just the way that he's been written. It's just really beautifully done.
Yeah.
So it gives me hope.
Yeah. So Barry goes back to Star Labs to lick his wounds and also be like, I told you so.
Yeah.
And they have this whole...
And it was good that they acknowledged that we didn't believe you. And Barry was like, it's fine, because how could you believe me?
I'm getting really excited.
And then, you know what? Here, I'm just going to give you a drum roll right here.
And who walks in?
Wally!
But one, literally in my notes, it just says Wally. Wally!
Yeah.
Wally!
I got so giddy.
What? Which earlier in the episode, we see a little, when Iris is planning the wedding, we see her moving Wally around at the wedding. I was like, oh, he's going to be at the wedding.
And he walks. Of course, she cannot invite her brother.
Yes, of course, but I was just, you know.
A girl
gets scared.
It was great, because it was perfect, because it sounds like you need another speedster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He walks in, looking all cute, ready to run around.
We got a chant going on in the chat. It's Wally, 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 Wally. And it's so true, though, because it was perfect timing. And once again, it kind of harks back to what you were saying, that Ralph wasn't present during this at all either, which is interesting.
But I'm glad that they brought him back, and I'm excited that they brought him back, because it clicked into my mind that maybe they will finally use him correctly instead of leaving him there for chopped liver and forgotten, like, fish bait.
Where did it say he was?
Wally is an incredible engineer. I think he's going to help them build the contraption that helps them think on the thinker's level.
I didn't even think about that, because they really haven't played on him.
Yeah, he's smart.
Yeah.
He's smart, y'all. He's smart.
And he's necessary
for
this.
He make them things. So when he came in, that was my first thought. I was like, I wonder if he's going to be like the catalyst that helps them build it.
Yeah.
What Savitar mentioned last season, its name is completely escaping my brain. Help me out, chat room. But, I'm excited. I think they might use him correctly.
And you actually noticed that when they asked him how his little...
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, you guys, I get so pumped up every single time any of the DC shows throws in a JLA reference. And this was a massive JLA reference. So, he comes in. They're like, how have you been? He's like, oh, you know, I just fought a massive starfish from outer space. So, the starfish from outer space is totally Starro the Conqueror, who's like a famous little JLA villain. So I'm pumped. The crossover's coming. Last year during the crossover, we had a good little JLA Easter egg. So who's with me?
I'm here for it. So we obviously get hyped about Wally. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, episode's over. We got Wally back. But no, the episode's not over. Because we go back to the thinker in present time. Rolling up. He's mad tired from his little drag fest with Barry. And we start seeing the signs of his ALS, and the kiss thing happens again, where his wife kissed him and said the little,
can't lose you, whatever.
And he chills for a second. But then homegirl takes off this man's wig.
Oh, that brain.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Took off his
takes off his... literally scalps him. And we see the chair that we see little flashbacks of earlier in the episode that she's creating. We see the chair in action, really, and we see it come out and like kind of click into his brain.
And his whole, and like who he becomes. It was like, it was everything coming full circle, because we had seen him like this before, but it was like to see him, because it was very good that they made us watch him as a as like his regular human form the whole episode. So it was even more like resonating when he went back to how we have been seeing him before then, though, which was,
So this was the moment that got me the most excited about the Thinker, because there's been a lot of debate online whether this is a new 52 thinker that they've kind of like retweaked to put into the Flash, or the golden age comics thinker, and it solidified 100% we can put to sleep the new 52 timeline. It's definitely the golden age for the thinker. And in that, the thinker in the golden age is rehabilitated, and Jay Garrick, who was the original Flash, actually becomes friends with him because he does come around from being an evil mastermind to being a good guy. And there's this really cool comic where the thinker is dying of brain cancer, and Jay tries to get his cap to save him because he realizes the cap can stop the brain cancer. So that being said, I have hopes that this is the first villain ever that we see that is truly rehabilitated.
Interesting.
I don't know if I want that. I like him being.
I know. I like showdowns.
I'm not saying he's not going to have a showdown, but maybe there will be a huge catalyst. You wouldn't like to see something different?
I don't know if it would be as cool if it wouldn't be him going out on the epic thing. But maybe that's also why they resonated that love story between him and the mechanic, so that you kind of want them to be able to stay together. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the heart of it, you know? Like the whole thing, like he said at the end, like what's, you know, knowledge without love? Like he was allowing them to get married. Yeah. Although you cannot stop the West Island wedding.
I thought that was really polite.
What you're not going to do is.
Listen, villains have ruined things before for, you know, Felicity and Ollie. The crossover is the big episode. Felicity and Ollie are going to be there. We've seen some wedding dress pictures. I'm just like, look, if y'all can chill and let people get married. But then the trailer drops. I don't know. I'm hoping that the wedding just actually happens. I don't care if they get married by themselves inside a turtle shell. I just need it to happen.
So, yeah, the episode ends. We got a crossover next week. Chauncey, you have some gossip and news that you have for us?
Yeah, it basically ties into the epic four-hour event that will be happening next week that we all have been anticipating since the beginning of the season, and that is Crisis on Earth X crossover extended trailer released just the other day, and it was epic.
I just like the beginning. I like that it flashes through all the main.
I love the West Allen in the beginning.
Yeah, come on, West Allen.
And the girls are getting together during this. And you just see all this great stuff, these relationships between the superheroes.
Stephen Amell looks so good in a tux. I like fan myself.
Ooh, come on, Joe, looking good in a suit.
It's very sweet until it all goes to crap.
Can we just vote that they all wear suits from here on out?
Yeah, you got my vote, girl. It's like Captain Planet. I'll put my hand out.
Yeah, basically, West Allen is front and center in the trailer as we're about to see, other planet, Earth X to be exact, Nazis.
It looks like they're fighting their doubles.
There's gonna be some doppelgangers up in there and also otherworldly Nazis, which seems kind of timely in these days.
Yeah. Nazis, man.
I know. So they threaten to destroy their wedding and take over the Earth. So Crisis on Earth is going to be a four-hour event, and this one's going to be a lot different than the previous ones, where it's going to feel like a whole movie as opposed to, you know, certain episodes, which is really cool.
I'm so
and also
cool.
Within that, we saw the West Allen poster was revealed over the weekend. Woo! And it looks so good, y'all.
They are a beautiful couple.
That's the gold standard right there, that couple. And, what was being celebrated on the web was that this Grant Gustin was actually the first to premiere that poster, and it got 1 million likes. Woo! For the first time, like one of the most liked pictures on his Instagram, which is really cool, which shows the power
they
of
were
West
all
Allen
by
is.
Me and all of my extra
because West Allen is delicious.
It's the gold standard. And so congratulations to the fans of that. And also lastly, this is a little bit of slightly dated news that I wasn't able to get to last time, but the question of Elongated Man's comic book love interest. Because, you know, right now what's been going on online, people are kind of guessing that they might put him and Caitlin together.
No!
But, fans of The Flash will eventually get to meet Sue Dibney, which in the comic book is Elongated Man's Ralph's, like, endgame, basically, soon. According to the showrunner, Kreisberg, Sue Dibney hasn't been overlooked, and that we'll get after we get to know Ralph, she'll make an appearance, which also gives credits to the fact that Ralph may be staying around a lot longer if we're going to eventually meet his endgame.
Which makes me really interested in how he will be fully integrated into Team Flash and how he's going to handle these villains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect endgame for our fan art.
Yes.
Yes, from Stevenson John's One. You can follow him on Twitter, and Instagram. He's awesome, you guys. He makes all of these from scratch. The cast often retreats him. If you want to see fan art, definitely check out his page because he does all the DC shows. Yes, and this is the Flash from the premiere episode for Elongated Man, not the season, when we saw him run up the arm, which is literally the creepiest superhero move of all time. Yeah. But that being said, he's getting his own little show on the CW seed. You guys can actually check it out, and we're going to see Ralph's adventures as Elongated Man, which they kind of snuck a little stretched preview in. We saw what they did there. Okay. We saw that.
All right. What do you guys think? Predictions. What's happening?
Predictions for the next... Well, we got the crossover episode coming in, which is going to be... I don't think it'll necessarily tie into DeVoe, although it'll be interesting if DeVoe knew about all this that was going to happen, if we'll see a reference to that at all, or if this will just be sort of a thing where this is a new, you know, thing for them. In terms of DeVoe... I'm baffled. I'm actually really excited because I have no idea what he wants. Like, I don't know because, like, you know, what was being said is that the fact that it seems like a noble cause, but why is he going after the Flash? What about the Flash does he need? Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm baffled right now, which is exciting to me. It's not predictable.
So I'm not going to predict on a crossover because I don't know. I know those 2 minutes of the trailer, and it's going to be totally separate than what we've been seeing. So I'm going to just leave that one alone, and I'm going to be excited with my movie preview next week because I'm just thinking of it as a movie. But moving Endgame into the series, I think that Wally was brought back because he's going to help build the contraption that helps them fight the Thinker. I still can't remember the name of it, so I'm calling it the Contraction. Help me out, you guys. I'd love to see the name pop up there so I can sound smart for you. And then I think that the Thinker's gonna come full circle and he's gonna be the first villain that really does beat Team Flash but comes full circle, maybe against another cause. And I hope that it does round out the Golden Age comics and that we kind of get that in there.
Yeah, and I think it's gonna be a battle of the couples. I think the Thinker and the Mechanic versus Iris and Barry.
Wes Allen will happen. Like, they're getting married.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. They're getting married. It's the crux of the show.
But I think we are going to get to see Iris and Barry really get to be kind of a dynamic. We've been seeing them build up to be this dynamic duo. I think with DeVoe and the Mechanic being so hardcore, the Bonnie and Clyde, I think we're going to see... I think it's going to take Iris and Barry to defeat that. And so I am really excited.
Wondering how, yeah.
Yeah. I have no... This season's so good, I have no idea what's going to happen. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. We are baffled, honestly, by this season.
So baffled, we're speechless.
We're so excited for the crossover next week. Make sure to tune in with us. My name is Drew Jones. You can follow me on all the things at OKDrewJ. And I'm going to throw it over to my co-panelist.
Hey, guys. Again, I'm Carolina Benetti. You can follow me on Twitter at Carolina Benetti and on Instagram at LenaBean113. And Chauncey?
Yeah, I'm Chauncey K. Robinson. You can find me at Miss Chauncey KR. And also on Sundays at Horror TV News Weekly here on AfterBuzz TV.
We'll see you guys later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.